We have a few folks that are missing. Terry and Rosalind have gone to, they're having a family reunion. And I know, I said to Gaylene, I said, I'd hoped your dad would be here because I have a very special word. I'm going to speak on Terry. And I know he would get it. And it's a very special word, but most people, when I use that word, Terry, they look at me as if I'm talking about a person. I'm not talking about Terry, but even though the word is spelled or pronounced the same way. And Terry, to Terry, is a hardship for some people. And I want to just minister on that for a little bit, and I trust that you'll open your hearts to receive of the word of God. There was a brother Andrew that said, "Our prayer can go where we cannot. There is no borders. There is no prison walls. There is no doors that are closed to us when we pray." Glory to Jesus. A 7-year-old girl had just won $2 for her memory work in Sunday school. That included scriptures. It included prayers. It included the Apostles' Creed and so on. After the morning service, the pastor's wife congratulated her. And the little girl announced, I put it all in the offering. "How wonderful," said the pastor's wife. "I'm sure God will be pleased." "Oh yes," the child replied. "Now maybe God will let me do some of the things I want to do." I wonder if that's how we feel when sometimes it comes to the important things in our faith and our practice. It's amazing when pastors preach on prayer. Most of the congregation think that they know all there is to know. But isn't it amazing that statistics show that Christians spend a very small amount of time each day praying? Maybe that's true for you, and maybe it isn't. But I want to continue our talk that we started last week. I believe that when we pray, it has the potential to change our lives. And it has the potential to change the lives of those around us. I would like to begin with Matthew chapter 26. Lord, open our eyes and our ears right now. Open our understanding for your word, to your word. Help us to comprehend it and to get it in Jesus' name. To remember it. Matthew chapter 26, verse 36. I'm going to read it out of a new translation called the Passion Translation. You will see it on the screen from the NLT. The Passion Translation says it like this. Then Jesus led his disciples to an orchard called Gethsemane. And by the way, that Gethsemane actually means the oil press. Isn't that interesting? The oil press. Jesus told them, he says, "Sit here while I go and pray over there." He took Peter, James, and John with him. However, an intense feeling of great sorrow plunged his soul into deep sorrow and agony. And he said to them, My heart is overwhelmed and crushed with grief. Bible says that he was acquainted with grief. You can be here and you can be grieving, but the Lord, he was grieved too. He was grieving over something very different. He was still grieving. "My heart was overwhelmed and crushed with grief. It feels as though I am dying. Stay here and keep watch with me." He walked a short distance away, and overcome with grief, he threw himself face down on the ground and prayed, "My Father, If there is any way you can deliver me from this suffering, please take it from me. Yet, what I want is not important, for I only desire to fulfill your plan for me. Then an angel from heaven appeared to strengthen him. Later, he came back to his three disciples and found them all sound asleep. He awakened Peter and said to him, "Do you lack the strength to stay awake with me for just even 1 hour? Keep alert and pray." Notice, keep alert and pray that you'll be spared from this time of testing. You should have learned by now that your spirit is eager enough, but your humanity is weak. Then he left them for a second time to pray in solitude. And he said to his father, "My father, if there is not a way that you can deliver me from this suffering, then your will must be done." He came back to the disciples and found them asleep, for they couldn't keep their eyes open. So he left them and went away to pray the same prayer for the third time. What's this? Was God hard of hearing that Jesus had to make the request three times? Don't think so. When he returned again to his disciples, he awoke them and saying, "Are you still sleeping and resting? Don't you know the hour has come for the Son of Man to be handed over to the authority of sinful men? Get up and let's go, for the betrayer has arrived." I would like to go back to verse 38 for a moment, and I'm going to read it out of the King James this time. "Then saith he unto them, My soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even unto death." What is the word? Tarry here. See, there's tarry. Tarry here. I thought, what? What is that? What is that? What is that? In fact, if I was going to title a message, I would go, "Tarry, what's that?" Well, I discovered that the word tarry means to abide. In fact, it's translated 61 times abide. It also means to remain, to dwell, to continue, to tarry, but it also means to endure. The newer translations use the word watch. Wow. So, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry here and watch with me. I looked up that word watch. And you know what I found? That word watch means to be vigilant. Last week, I think we taught on push. Push in prayer. You push until something happens. Sometimes we pray like, "Well, I'll just pray up there, and well, I might get it. I don't know if I'll get it." But there is an anticipation with this kind of praying. Jesus, I believe that Jesus already knew what he was going to face. But if the Son of God needed and felt the urgency and the grieving enough to pray, then who are we? That we think that we can go through life and do little praying. It is amazing that in some of the services and some of the places where you go and minister, and honestly even here, that the prayer meeting is one of the smallest services we have. Now, I'm sure that you are praying. Many of you are praying at home. I get that. And I'm not here to lay anybody on a guilt trip. Okay. But I do want to teach the importance of having prayer is communicating with God. And it is a must that we communicate with our Father. How else do we get to know Him? It's easy to say, hi, or you meet somebody for the first time. Hi, how you doing? Oh, I'm good. And I usually say, how good? Right? And because, you know, good, well, that's good. It's just a one-word answer. And good, I like to know how you're feeling, you know, in case I need to pray more for you. Glory to God. But there is a vigilance. There is an abiding in this thing. There is a remaining. In fact, didn't Jesus say, if you abide in me, and I abide in you, and my words abide in you, you can ask what you wish. Well, 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8, interesting word. It says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, is as a roaring lion, walking about, seeking whom he may devour. The NLT says it like this, stay alert. Why did Jesus say, could you not, to Peter, could you not stay alert? Could you not watch with me for 1 hour? Are you used to praying for an hour? Some people have a real hard time in praying for an hour. Now, in a couple of weeks when we carry on with the series, we're going to be talking about ways that help you pray for an hour. It is not a structure. It is not a formula, but it will be a help to you. Because I want you to get to know God. When I started out in this thing, I was in Bible school. And I had a real hard time praying for an hour until I got it. Until I begin to understand praying for an hour is not a big task. When I find out all the things that you can do during that prayer time to help. Anybody excited about learning? Woo, glory. Thank you, Lord. Stay alert, watch, for your great enemy, the devil, prowls like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. Can you imagine with me, on this cold black night of Christ's betrayal, his disciples could not tarry with him even 1 hour in prayer. In the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus was earnestly praying in such agony of spirit that his sweat became like great drops of blood. His disciples were ignorant. They were oblivious to the eternity-shaping event that was about to transpire. And they slept. I don't realize, I'm sure, that you are with me, that there are times that we're not aware of the trauma that there is in the spirit realm. And if believers would pray and seek His face. You know that prayer is humbling ourselves. Shannon read it. If my people which are called by my name will humble themselves. It is an opportunity for you to humble yourself before God. Well, Jesus, heavy in sorrow and spirit, tried to awaken these sleeping disciples. What? What? Could you not watch with me 1 hour? There's a pastor in Rockwell, Texas, by the name of Larry Lee. He leads a congregation of about 15,000. He made this statement about this moment in Jesus' life. Mirrored in that tragic scene in the plight of the church today, Jesus, our interceding high priest, is praying. His disciples are sleeping and Satan is winning contest after contest by default. It would be impossible to calculate the failures, the ruined reputations, the defeats, the broken homes, and the other multiple tragedies that could have been avoided if believers
prayed. It would be impossible to measure the destruction that could have been turned and the judgment that may have been averted only if God's people had taken time to pray. Come on. I'm guilty of it, and so are you. Let's be honest. Like I said, I'm not here to put anybody on a guilt trip. I know what it's like to be haunted by the call to pray. I know what it's like to be interrupted. I know what it's like to be fatigued. I know what it's like to be pressured. I know what it's like to be just plain busy. And let's not talk about laziness. Many of us need to bow before Him and repent of our excuses, of our inabilities to avoid distractions, of our failures to balance our time appropriately, and ask Him to teach us how to pray. It just might begin a revolution in our soul. Something supernatural happens when you pray. And Jesus said, could you not pray for an hour? Well, it doesn't happen overnight. But I believe as you pray, even without notice, the desire to pray becomes firmly planted in the soil of our heart by the Spirit of the living God. This desire crowds out the weeds of apathy and neglect and matures us into the discipline to pray. Then one day you discover your prayer is no longer just a duty or an hour, or is it drudgery? Instead, the discipline of prayer becomes the delight of our lives. You will find yourself eagerly longing for your time with God daily. Someone remarked, prayer is profoundly simple and simply profound. When you get right down to it, prayer is simply talking with the God who loves you and longs for you to know Him. He wants us to spend time with Him. In fact, it is urgent that we do so. I wonder if Peter would have prayed, if he would have been able to resist the temptation of denying the Lord 3 times. Isn't that what Jesus said? Over the past years, in my Christian life, I have prayed and read Scripture and witnessed and attended church and got involved in different service opportunities that have really helped people. But my problem hasn't... Yeah, I at times pray sporadically. I pray in the car. I'm saying thank you a lot. I'm talking to the Lord more than I ever did in all my life. I just don't pray to Him when I get desperate. Even when I'm looking for sermon ideas, or when my loved ones are in pain or in need, that's a rut too, you know. It can be a very frustrating, in fact, I'll say it like this, it's a very frustrating place to feel separated from God. You lack the consistent joy, and you miss the constantly wonderful experience of the presence and the peace of our Lord. When I was growing up, we were out Wednesday nights for Bible study. There was Tuesday morning early men's prayer meeting. There was Thursday music practice. And then there was our family Bible reading, which my parents still read the Bible together. Then, of course, when I entered the ministry, there was the precious time to prepare for those meetings, plus the community involvements. But I tell you, it's not enough to just be involved.
we of necessity. Hey, Peter and the disciples were involved in ministry. But this was a key moment that Jesus said, "Can you not tarry 1 hour?" In the book of Acts, Jesus ascends into heaven. The disciples are pretty much the same as they were in that garden. They were still sleeping. But Jesus said, "Go and pray and wait, remain, stay for the gift of the Holy Spirit." Amazing thing is, they did. What made them into a mighty spiritual army that seized difficulties and turned them into opportunities? That made them into an army characterized by clear-headedness and incisive decisions instead of foggy thinking and confusion, which sometimes we all find ourselves in from time to time. What made them into an army in that one generation, turning the world upside down for Jesus? It was prayer, plain and simple. Prayer that unleashed the power of God and tapped into His infinite resources. That's what transformed a slumbering disciples, disheartened believers, from wishy-washy followers of Christ into a mighty army with deliverance and as its song and healing in their hands. Prayer that snatches the victories that Jesus won for us. Out of Satan's greedy clutches. Prayer that storms the gates of hell. God works through that kind of earnest, deliberate prayer that won't quit until God answers that prayer or changes the way we pray. There are people all around us that need us in a big way. They need our encouragement. They need our prayer. Yes, sometimes we see them as coincidences or inconveniences. No, I don't think so. They are God-ordained moments manufactured by Him because we're open to His leading. Praise the Lord. We all need to commit ourselves to pray for an hour and study. I believe that God is calling His church to pray. But to many of God's people, prayer is a lost art. The desire to pray is not something we can work up in our flesh. The only motivation to pray is that if our only motivation to pray is because we're supposed to, or because I preach on it, then we fail. It's not something we work up in the flesh. Verse 41 of Matthew 26, Jesus said, "Watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak." You see, the desire to pray must be birthed in us by the Holy Spirit. The desire to get to know Him. Prayer is not a technique. Prayer is a falling in love. I hope that you will bow with me to lift up the concerns and needs of our community, taking time to praise and rejoice, and ask Jesus to place in your heart the desire to pray, to give you the ability and to develop a daily, consistent prayer life. As we learn to pray over the next several weeks, as Jesus taught His disciples, our prayer will no longer be a hit-and-miss experience. Instead of an hour, it won't be enough to bask in the love of God, to raise our praise and adoration, our thanksgiving, and our concerns. You know that James 5:16 says, "Confess your sins one to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed." Why don't you turn to your neighbor and say, that's exciting. Glory to God. How many want healing? Wow. That's big scripture. Glory to God. Confess your sin to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The earnest prayer of a righteous person has great power and produces wonderful results. Philippians 4, verse 6, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank Him for all He's done. Matthew 21, verse 22, you can pray for anything, and if you have faith, you will receive it. John chapter 15, verse 7, if you remain in me and my words remain in you, you can ask for anything you want and it'll be granted. Matthew chapter 6, verse 6, but when you pray, go away by yourself, shut the door behind you, and pray to your Father in private. Then your Father, who sees everything, will reward you. Okay, they're really excited about that too. Whew, glory to God. Thank you, Lord. We'll be rewarded. Thank you, Lord. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, 17, never stop praying. Galatians chapter 4, verse 2, devote yourselves to prayer with an alert mind and a thankful heart. Glory to Jesus. In Acts chapter 2, verse 42, it says, all the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to sharing in meals, including the Lord's Supper, and to pray. Now, a few days ago, I was introduced to the idea of soft power and hard power. You say, what? That's what I said. What? What's terror? No. What's soft power and hard power? The term alone may not instantly click in your head. It didn't mine. But soft power is clearly totally opposite to hard power. Let me use the Koreas as an example. North Korea has a nuclear weaponry aimed at the soil of the world. It has a hovering finger above the launch button. If somebody pries too closely, that is hard power. It's the bully with the bigger muscles and the baseball bat. In contrast, South Korea has a rising star in their music scene, several music stars coming on the music scene with numerous breakout bands which students are obsessed with. K-pop is affecting their radio waves alongside of the glitz of entertainment in U.S. and Canada. Soft power is far more sublineal, but I believe is perhaps more powerful than the opposite. Soft power. Seoul, South Korea, with its intellectual soft power, is growing the ability to influence fans however they want. It is slow. It is over time rather than blatant in your face like North Korea's nukes. The reason why that this is important for us in the West is that we are in danger of soft power than hard. You don't have to look any further than Genesis, the third chapter of Genesis. Does the serpent come to Eve with a crossbow and tell her, you better eat this thing or else? She is not faced with hard power. Not ready to get nuked if she does not eat that fruit. No, of course not. He slips subtle lies into her mind. He makes her question the things she once was so sure about. Before long, she has given in, and the thought of the enticement of that thing brings death and toil. I would wager to say most of us are not threatened by AK-47s or barbed wire on the daily basis. But there is a far power more subtle. 2 Corinthians chapter 10 says, "We use God's mighty weapons, not worldly weapons, to knock down the strongholds of human reasoning and to destroy false arguments. We destroy every proud obstacle that keeps people from knowing God. We capture their rebellious thought and teach them to obey Christ." These human reasonings and false arguments are the things that keep us from praying. Soft power of thought. Jack Hayford says that prayer is invading the impossible. If that's true, then we need to invade the impossible by taking hold of the thoughts that keep us from showing our trust and reliance on God and pray. I've only given you a few scriptures to ignite the flame to pray. You absolutely don't have to start with an hour, but start with 10 minutes or even 5. If you're baptized in the Holy Spirit, then pray in the Spirit. Ephesians 6 says it like this, verse 13. "Therefore put on every piece of God's armor so that you will be able to resist." What are we resisting? We're resisting that soft power of the devil. The thoughts. "I can't do it. I'm not able. I'm tired. No one else is doing it." He will come with all kinds of excuses. "Therefore, put on every piece of God's armor so that you will be able to resist." Isn't that the vigilance that we talked about earlier in the message? "Resist the enemy in the time of evil. Then after the battle, you will be still standing firm. Stand your ground, putting on the belt of truth and the body armor of God's righteousness. The shoes, put on the peace that comes from the good news so that you will be fully prepared. In addition to all these, hold up the shield of faith to stop the fiery arrows of the devil. Put on the salvation as your helmet. Take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word." Verse 18 says, "Pray in the Spirit at all times and on every occasion. Staying alert and be persistent in your prayers for all believers everywhere." Spirit of truth, take the words we have spoken and challenge each heart with it to pray without stopping. Give us hearts of compassion as you open eyes to see what needs are around us, to what their calling is, and to what you have made available for them to ask for. I thank you, Father, for the people who are here that are strong in faith, in the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ. I thank you for your love for people everywhere. I don't want to stop thanking you for what you are doing. Thank you, Lord, for helping me pray constantly. I ask, Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, to give these people spiritual wisdom and insight so that they might grow in the knowledge of you. I pray that their hearts will be flooded with light so that they can understand the confident hope you have given to those who are called by your name, your holy people, who are rich and glorious in your inheritance. I pray that you will help them understand the incredible greatness of your power for us who believe. That is the same power that raised Christ from the dead and seated him at the place of honor, God's right hand. Far above all rule and authority and power and every leader or anything else, not only in this world but also in the one to come. I thank you for putting all things under the authority of Christ, who has made him the head over all things for the benefit of the church. I ask you to capture our hearts that we can know you. We'll not just know your ways, but we'll seek your face. And in all of our ways, we will delight ourselves in you so that you can direct us. Thank you for this. 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 Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I trust that you will make a commitment to find a regular place of prayer. Yes, we're going to be talking about prayer on Wednesday nights. We're going to be praying. We also pray Monday nights. Are we praying tomorrow? Okay. Even though it's a holiday. Glory to Jesus. I hope that you'll avail yourself of every opportunity to get to know God. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. 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 Thank you, Lord.
Lord, I lift your name on high. Lord, I'd love to sing your praises. I'm so glad you're in my life. I'm so glad you came to save us. From heaven to earth to show the way, from the earth to the cross, my debt to pay, from the cross to the grave, from the grave to the sky, Lord, I lift your name on high. Came from heaven to earth to show the way, from the earth to the cross, my debt to pay, from the cross to the grave, from the grave to the sky, Lord, I lift your name on high. Thank you. worship the Lord. Let him draw us into his presence. And as we talk to him, let us draw in his nearness. Salt him, to worship him in spirit and in truth. Oh, we lift your name, we lift your name on high. We lift your name, we lift your name on high. With our voices we lift.
Covering of the blood of Jesus as we go. Thank you, Lord, for your faithfulness and your mercy. Thank you, Lord. I ask that you go with them in their rising and their sitting and their going and their coming. Bless them as they let their light shine before men, that they will see your good works and glorify you. Lift your name on high. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you.